to the State of Florida Sports Podcast, presented by the USA Today Network. Here's your host, Tim Walters.
He's one of the most recognizable professional wrestlers of the past 25 years. He owns at least a dozen world championships, has more than a dozen world tag team titles, and the list goes on. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, is one of the most accomplished professional wrestlers in the history of the business. His story is one of accomplishing a dream, overcoming adversity, and triumphing despite all odds being against him. Now he's starring in a new Disney Plus series while also building a resume in a new wrestling company, and he'll be joining me in just a moment. Hello again, everybody. I'm Tim Walters, and thank you once again for joining me on the State of Florida Sports Podcast, powered by the USA Today Network. This podcast utilizes our Florida Sports Network of beat writers, columnists, and some special guests to bring you up to speed on the most important sports topics. Our Florida network consists of 17 news sites that encompass the state. We encourage you to subscribe to your hometown newspaper, and of course, this podcast, to help support the incredible journalism done by our talented staffs. There's not much more I can say about Adam Copeland, so let's bring him in now and hear about what he's up to. Adam, it really is a privilege having you here. Thank you so much for giving me your time. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
All righty. Well, you know, it seems odd to start an interview like this not talking about wrestling, but we'll get into that in just a minute. I want to start with your new role as Ares, the God of War, on the Disney Plus series Percy Jackson and the Olympian. So first and foremost, tell us, how does this opportunity find you, and what's it been like creating this series?
So when I first had to retire from wrestling, acting kind of fell in my lap. As I don't want to throw that away, but it kind of did, because I never looked to be an actor. That was never on my radar. I wanted to be a professional wrestler. So when acting fell in my lap and I realized how much I enjoyed it and how much it was still a creative outlet for me, because of that, that's the way my brain is wired. And it taps into that creative vein. So when I started acting, did a bunch of episodes of television, and got a manager and agent, all of those things. So when there has been free time or downtime, then I can start reading for roles again. And the Percy Jackson one came through, and I just read for it. But as I read the audition and the sides, I was like, oh, I think I know this guy. I think I know which direction to take this. And apparently I chose right, because before I knew it, I was out in Vancouver filming for it. And it was just such a great experience, and really just seeing the scope of it. And, I've been on big productions before with Vikings and things like that. This was, a little bit overwhelming to an extent. You know, we filmed in Mammoth Studios in Vancouver, and it was Mammoth. We're on this volume stage. I am the only one in Canada, and we're trying to create this battle scene between Percy and Ares on Montauk Beach, and you're staring around going, okay, it feels like we're on Montauk Beach. It's crazy. It was just a really good time, and it was fun to work with young people, like Walker and Aryan and Leah, because they're just full of energy, and in between setups and things, they're going to school. They're going out into the trailer to go to school. It's really just a great, fun experience with full of hardworking people. And since I've seen the first four episodes, I'm so proud to be a part of the franchise, be a small part of it.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, you've definitely got the right look for it. Tell us a little bit about your character, what you summon to get into character. And professional wrestling is certainly performative. Is it different? Is it similar? Just talk about the actual acting part.
Well, it wasn't until I did more than like one episode of a TV show or one quick movie or something that I realized the similarities. I've said it's wrestling, music, stand-up comedy, acting, it's all on the same street. It's just different branches. And I think that's why you can see stand-up comedians become actors and even musicians. It comes from the same place. And I started to realize what wrestling helped me with. in terms of acting. And, you know, there's a script with acting. Okay, that's great. You know, don't usually have that luxury. And you're not doing it live, so you can try different things. And if it doesn't work, well, you get another take. That was a luxury that I wasn't used to. What I will say, though, is that's what I love about wrestling, is that you don't have that. You're out there live without a mask. And I like that thrill. I like that instant gratification, knowing if what you're doing is working or not. So that was something to get used to. But it really, you know, just being from a performative aspect, whether it's fight scenes or things like that, my brain is just wired to pick that stuff up very quickly, you know, coming from my background. They both lent, I think, certain aspects to each other. You know, even in coming back to wrestling after my experience on television throughout the years I was retired, I realized that I could bring different things to promos and layering and character that I didn't have before. I didn't have that skill set before, and I feel like I brought that back with me. So that was really fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm looking forward to catching up on the series. I know 4 episodes are out. There's 4 more scheduled to be released. As soon as football season ends for me, because I'm the sports editor for the newspaper in Jacksonville, we got the Jaguars, you know, potentially looking at the playoffs here. So once football season is over, I can catch up on a lot of TV, and I definitely plan to check this out because it looks so cool. It's a neat project. And, you know, what's the schedule been like for you? I mean, do you have to shoot episodes in Vancouver and then fly to where AEW is? Or, you know, how has that been?
Gosh, I guess it was last summer, not this summer, but the summer before. And since then, there was, you know, a strike and, you know, all of those things. I switched companies. I switched to AEW, but I was flying back and forth in between. And it got pretty tiring at certain points, you know, but it was all, as I say, champagne problems. You know, it's like I'm, you know, working for Disney and still wrestling, and I'm, you know, at that stage, I think I just about to turn 49 years old, you know, so it was all very fun issues to have, I guess, but it's maintaining the shape I needed to be in for wrestling so that I didn't get injured. That became kind of the most difficult part, and, you know, lugging my meals with me, and, you know, just always making sure I stayed in the pocket I needed to, so that I didn't get hurt from wrestling.
All right. Well, it definitely sounds like you're keeping up with everything. It's nice that was shot a while back. And, you know, that, like I said, the bits that I have seen looks really cool. Now, let's get into wrestling. You mentioned, you know, you came over to AEW on October 1st, and that was actually just a few weeks short of your 50th birthday. And I want to talk about some comments that I read just this morning, actually, where you were talking about maybe having, you know, maybe 2 years left in wrestling. But before we get into that, I want to share some fun facts with you, Adam, because you and I were similar in age. Actually, tomorrow, January 5th, is my 47th birthday, so you're 3 years older than me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But Carol O'Connor, the actor who played Archie Bunker, was 47 the first year of that show in 1971. And Wilfred Brimley, the actor in Cocoon, was 50 when he shot that movie in 1984 and 85. So I think people have aged quite differently from those two people like you and me. I know you've never seen me, but I'm somebody who's in very good shape, can still run a 7-minute mile. So, you know, what's it like hitting 50? How different is it wrestling than in your 30s and 40s? And what do you think of those comps of, you know, you being the same age as Wilfred Brimley in Cocoon?
It's amazing to think how, you know, just science, diet, lifestyle, if we have so much at our fingertips now that prior generations didn't have, you know, because, you know, I don't picture those guys wrestling a match, but that when they were filming Cocoon or seeing them in spandex might be different, a different experience. But now, like, even to when I was wrestling the first time, how much had changed in the interim. Now, like, I use a meal prep company, so I can always maintain my diet. Things that I didn't do before, just in terms of stretching, my water intake, just all of the, you know, cold plunge, sauna, all things that I didn't do before, or all things that just weren't necessarily around at that point. Saunas were obviously, but like you couldn't, I don't remember, you know, there being cold plunge besides maybe putting a tub with a bunch of ice in it. Well, now I just walked out to my back deck. It sits at 37 degrees and it's oxidized, so it's always there waiting for me. All the things that I do now to recover. And I think that's the biggest difference that I find between the 30s and now being 50 is just the recovery aspect. There's no way I could do the schedule that I did when I was in my 20s and 30s, you know, 220, 250 shows a year. That wouldn't be possible. And I know that. What I'm doing now, you know, I feel good. I feel like I can maintain this. Again, like I'm looking at probably a couple of years. Because I still want to be able to get in and feel confident when I get in there, as opposed to starting to second guess myself, like, can I pull this off? So that's a rough timetable. But again, by that point, I'll be 52, you know, and it will get harder each year. I know that.
Could you ever see yourself having that one final match at age 75, like Ric Flair?
Nope. No way. No, I plan on, you know, sitting in my rocking chair for a bunch of years by that point.
Well, you know, I have a feeling you'll probably be one of the most in shape people even at age 75. So, but let's not think that far ahead. You know, I did a lot of research for this interview because obviously I've been a wrestling fan probably since about the same time you were. I got caught up in Hulkamania in the early 80s. And I read that you've known Christian Cage since you were 10 years old. So you guys have essentially known each other for four decades, and you're still out here scrapping in front of crowds. If somebody would have told the two of you at 10 years old that you'll both be 50 and still fighting in a wrestling ring, what would you have told 10-year-old you?
I would say, yeah, I know we would have made it, but I wouldn't think that at 50 we'd still be doing it. Especially when we're 10 years old, because 50 is ancient, right? It's like, there's not wrestlers that are 50. Well, there was Nick Bockwinkel. There was a lot of guys doing it, you know, at a very high level when we were growing up. You just didn't know all that stuff then. You didn't know the minutiae. There was no internet to be able to do Wikipedia that Nick Bockwinkel was AWA champion at 48, 49, 50, you know? So I would have thought, okay, probably a little crazy, but I always knew we were going to be tag team champions. I always knew we'd make it. That was never a doubt in my mind at all. But yeah, if you had told me at 50 we'd still be wrestling against each other, I'd say, okay, I'll be retired by then, right? And to be fair, if I didn't have to retire for them 9 years, I would be retired by now.
Yeah, so you feel like there was something definitely left on the table, which, you know, when you stepped away, it was, you know, it was one of those things. I remember watching it like, God, I feel so bad for him because he is just, the top of the sport, and to have to step away. And when you came back in 2020, I was like, you know, this is one of the big returns of wrestling history. I mean, take us back to that moment. In fact, in 2020, when you're coming back to wrestling, what was that like, you know, mentally for you?
It was just a lot of emotions, right? Because I was told I had to retire and that I'd never get to do this thing again. So it made retirement easier, at least the first time, because, okay, I don't have a choice in the matter. It's taken out of my hands. I don't have to, as my mom would say, hem and haw about it. But in getting the chance and the opportunity to come back, I knew the work I put in to get back, but that still didn't mean it was going to happen. So when I got the clearance to be able to do it, I was a little surprised. I was shocked, you know, because you go from being told if I fall, I could die to, okay, we can clear you for limited dates per year. Whoa, okay. And 9 years is a long time. It's dog years in wrestling, right? So that's a very, very long time to be retired. So for the first time, I kind of had the doubt of, okay, can I still do this? It's been almost a decade. And sure, I've been in the ring a couple of times before, but there's still nothing that prepares you or 50,000 people reacting to your theme music, and all of that adrenaline and all of those emotions comes directly at you. And then it's your body and mind and then soul's job to go, okay, compartmentalize this. Let's organize this so that you can focus on what you got to do. It's hard to explain, but it was very overwhelming. And I think it will end up being, you know, the favorite moment of my career. Just because it wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, I know that was such a cool moment, and just incredibly happy for you, and, you know, great things. And we're going to talk about AEW here in a second, but I just got one more question about your past. And that was, you know, again, I read that at age 16, you were actually on hand for WrestleMania 6, which I remember watching on pay-per-view, the one famous where the Ultimate Warrior defeated Hulk Hogan. I know you were a big Hogan fan. How disappointed as a 16-year-old did you go home that the Warrior won, or were you also happy for the Warrior because it was really a battle of baby faces?
No, I was devastated. I was a Hulkamaniac through and through. I didn't this Warrior guy. Nah, no, I didn't. I was always a Hogan guy. So I just remember being like dumbfounded. I was like, wait, what? And but at the same time, it was such an experience, you know. It was so electric, and to feel that energy and just be in the audience for that, it was really, really special. Like, I'd already told myself I was going to be a wrestler by that point, but it was moments like that where you're just like, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. This is what I'm doing. I want to feel that. I want to be a part of that. But on the other side of it, you know, I loved being a fan. I still do, but the idea of being one of the storytellers, that to me was very, very enticing, very exciting. Growing up, that's all I did. You know, it was comics, it was books, it was music, it was stories. That's all I've ever been intrigued by, essentially. And that's what I loved about wrestling. It was comic books and it was story come to life. That's still what I love about it.
Yeah, you know, the only WrestleMania I was ever able to get to in person was the one in Orlando in 2008, where Flair had his retirement match against Shawn Michaels. You had a great, it must have been about a half hour match with The Undertaker. You know, a lot of people wondering if you would be the one that would end the streak. But I can remember sitting there as an adult fan thinking this is an amazing experience. So the fact that you got to do it, you know, as a teenager and to see your hero, that's really cool. And you also got to be a tag team champion with Hulk Hogan. Do you remember that night?
Yeah, again, just certain moments where you go, okay, I would not have put this on my bingo card. I wouldn't have expected this, you know, because again, at that point when I'm a fan, I don't think, okay, by the time I get there, Hogan could become one of my peers. That just wasn't a thought, right? Now, it would have been a dream for 10-year-old Adam to go, yeah, okay, you're going to be a tag team champion with Hulk Hogan. I mean, just insanity, right? So I just felt like a little kid, you know, that night. And anytime I teamed with him, honestly, it just felt like I felt like a kid, like in the best way possible. And even just like in getting to wrestle Roddy Piper and getting to wrestle Ric Flair and getting to wrestle all of these guys that I grew up idolizing. And then having friendships with them, you know, and earning the respect. That to me is something that, like, I'll always take with me, is that these guys that paved the way for my generation, just like there was a generation before them that paved it for them. But these were the guys, they were the touchstones of my childhood, my teenagehood. And then to be able to work with them, rub the elbows with them as peers, it's very, very mind-melting, honestly.
Well, you know, I bet when you came to AEW, there was some of that in reverse, where a lot of the young guys on their roster see Adam Copeland, Edge, you know, show up. And so do you remember some of the conversations with some of those guys coming into AEW? And who are some guys you haven't had matches with that you're kind of looking forward to working with because of, you know, there's a great talent and roster pool there?
Well, no one knew I was coming in. Right. So it hasn't been until after when I can come to the shows now and I don't have to be, you know, snuck in and actually sit down and have conversations with everybody. You know, everybody's pretty cool about it, just like, you know, I was with Hogan, just like I was with, you know, Sean and Brett and Rick. It's like, you don't want to be that gushing guy, right, or gushing girl. And so everybody's played pretty cool. But for me, that was one of the most enticing reasons to come to AEW was the roster. You know, I felt like in coming back, I'd worked with the people that I wanted to work to for the most part in WWE. So I looked at the AEW roster and I was like, hey, I'll get to work with Christian again, which we both thought would never happen, because, you know, between us, we were both retired for 16 years, you know, so that was never going to be an opportunity. So suddenly that's an opportunity again. Okay. But beyond that, then I look at the roster. I haven't worked with anyone, like 98% of the people in this company. You know, you can point to Jericho or Jared or Christian, and it's like, okay. But even in coming in so far, I've got to work with, you know, Killswitch / Luchasaurus, Nick Wayne, The Righteous, Lance Archer, team with Sting, team with Darby Allin. And then I look at the roster, and there's a Swerve Strickland, there's an MJF, there's a Hangman Adam Page, there's a Moxley, there's a Claudio, there's a Miro. Go down the roster, and I haven't touched any of them. You know, Malakai Black, you know, FTR, Young Bucks, so many, many different things that can be done there. That's really exciting, especially at this stage in my career, to have that many stories in front of me. It's fun.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned one name in there, Swerve Strickland. He actually joined me on the podcast about a week ago, and he's an intriguing person, a military veteran. You know, he kind of found his sea legs as a wrestler. He's only with AEW less than 2 years. When you see him wrestle, does he remind you of anyone, or what do you think of him or some of the other, you know, these young guys who are making a charge for the championship?
What I think is cool about Swerve is he doesn't remind me of anyone, which I think is cool. He's distinctly his own thing. I've told him, you know, from one of the first times I ever actually got to see him perform, he comes at things from different angles. And I mean, within the ring, within the confines of a match, like he hits different angles that I've never seen anyone do before, which I love the creativity of that. But he also made those things make sense, which was important to me, rather than just do it because it looks different and cool. He made it make sense. So I always really dug that about his stuff, that he is very creative, really, really creative. And you know, a student of what it is we do when we have that in common. You know, I still study tape. I still try and watch things for ideas and try to figure out how to make them my own, and put my own spin on them. And you can tell he does that too. And so it's really nice to see him get the opportunity and let the audience make their decision. And they have, you know, he's the hottest guy in the company right now. And it's exciting, because when somebody starts to hit like that, it's just, I don't know, it's fun to watch. It was fun to watch, you know, Stone Cold, and it was fun to watch The Rock, and it was fun to watch Cena, and it was fun to watch Orton. Like, all of these guys find their thing and then hit their stride. So it's always fun to be, you know, fly on the wall for that.
Yeah, that is high praise to talk about a Swerve early in his career mentioned with those names. So that's really cool for him. And I love watching his matches. He's really talented. So AEW is returning to Jacksonville on January 10th. And, you know, Daly's Place, that was the home base, you know, during most of the pandemic. They haven't been back since October of 2022. So obviously before you joined AEW, have you ever competed in the Jacksonville area, or is this going to be a first for you?
If there's a city, I've been there and performed there. So I have, but this will be my first time coming with AEW, first time in Daly's Place and you know, kind of home base for the company. So it'll be my first time, you know, in this capacity. So that's always fun. You know, it's fun to, you know, I feel like I got a new suit, you know, and I'm hitting all of these new places for the first time again in a way. So I repeat it over and over, but it's just fun. And at this stage of my career, at this stage of my life, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. You know, I don't feel like I've ever worked a day in my life. And I know how rare that is. So I don't take it for granted. So I'm just, you know, soaking in every opportunity I have, whether it's Jacksonville or, you know, whether it's Charlotte this Saturday or whether it's, you know, the next pay-per-view in Greensboro, wherever it is.
So do you tell Tony Khan you're a fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars or who are you rooting for in the NFL these days?
I'm a hockey guy, but I grew up, you know, in Toronto, the Bills were the closest team. So that's who you rooted for. But it was those 4 years in a row. So it was also a hard time to be a Bills fan. So I don't necessarily have a horse in the race. But yeah, I think by proxy now, you know, I'm probably going for Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, you know, the Bills, they got a big game down there in Miami Sunday night. So, you know, the winner of that game wins the AFC East. And of course, with the Jaguars, they have to win to claim the AFC South crown, or they might get a wild card or go home. So tell Tony you're a big Jaguars fan, 1 o'clock this Sunday as they play at Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. That and Fulham FC, right?
There you go. Yes, absolutely, definitely. And be nice if he give you, you know, maybe a plane ride over to see them play over there in beautiful England. But Adam, I could pepper you with questions all day, but I know your time is valuable and I do appreciate you spending this time with me. Before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to say about yourself, about AEW, about the future, or anything else in general?
Just for me, all of this, from the Royal Rumble in 2020 on, this is all just bonus because I never thought it would happen. So I'm just having fun. And hopefully, you know, people enjoy going on that ride with me. And to me, that's what this whole thing is about. It's not about, you know, initials of a company. It's not about, you know, just the weird tribalism that can happen in wrestling. It's about fun. You know, the reason I loved this thing from the time I saw it is because it was fun. I didn't care if it was NWA or WWF or, you know, Continental, or if it was Mid-South or it was UWF, or if it was Florida Championship Wrestling or it was Pacific Northwest Don Owens Wrestling or International Wrestling from Montreal or DC All-Star Wrestling. I was watching it all because it's fun. And if you're a fan of wrestling, that to me is what you watch it for, is to have fun. And that's what I'm doing out there, you know, is just having a blast creating stories. So that's the mindset. That's all I plan on doing going forward until I finally do, you know, tip of the cap and walk off into the sunset.
Well, I tell you what, from a wrestling fan perspective, you know, hope to see you around for a long time. Look forward to the great things to come. And as an interviewer perspective, again, I appreciate you giving me so much time. You know, roughly, what, a dozen championship titles, probably that many tag team titles. You are a true legend. And you've got a cool new series, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, on Disney+. So best of luck to you, Adam. And again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that will do it for another episode of the State of Florida Sports Podcast. I'm Tim Walters, and to quote the man I just spent a half hour interviewing, Adam Copeland, one thing about wrestling, it keeps you humble. Will you all stay humble and join me again next time?